Good morning. This is Sunday, January 5th, 2025. We're continuing our study of Joel's Spiritual Power of Truth, Chapter 13, Know Thyself. Get quiet, close your eyes. You might even invite the Christ. And then be still. He begins with, "We have concluded that the measure of Christ that is raised up in an individual is the measure of Christ loosed in consciousness to raise up others. This means that any degree of sin, disease, lack, or limitation that touches your consciousness immediately starts to be dissolved. But I am afraid to tell you that it also means that anyone who comes into the orbit of your experience, clinging to the desire to do evil, is apt to find themselves getting ready for a funeral, because coming into contact with the Christ of your consciousness will do to them what it did unto Judas Iscariot. There are those in all parts of the world who still believe that it is perfectly all right to live by the sword. They do not know that in this age they are going to hit up against the Christ and die by the sword. As we have already noted, there was a time when man's inhumanity to man could make them rich and powerful. But that time has passed. That time is gone. There is a sufficient amount of the Christ loosed in human consciousness that as evil hits up against that Christ, the evil is destroyed and the individual is set free. Only where the individual is determined to cling to the evil and benefit by it is the individual destroyed along with the evil. We are in the age when children are being born into a world in which there is this greater measure of Christ. You will witness the kingdom of God established on earth. That means there will be no more nights. There will be no more sin, no more disease, no more death. Each one of us, in turn, makes the transition from visibility into invisibility, and there is a good and natural reason for it. As long as we have a mission to perform in the visible, we will be here in the visible. But when that mission is completed, we will pass from the visible to the invisible, and we will continue to live, but on a higher spiral of spiritual life. I would like to illustrate that for you so that you will no longer just believe in immortality, but actually experience it. Now he's going to go into the example of a tree. He says, "I will ask you, for a moment to visualize in your mind a tree. I don't care what kind of tree it is or where. However, somewhere on that tree are seeds. Now, the life that is the life of the tree is the life of each seed. When that seed falls or is carried away somewhere and falls to earth, it sinks into the ground. The life of the tree is the life of the seed. Therefore, when that seed becomes a tree, it is that life that was a tree. In turn, that life which is the life of the seed is the life of the next tree. However, remember, it is the same life that was the life of the first tree. The life of the tree is the same life of the seed. Therefore, the same life is the life of tree number two, which is the life of the next seed, which in turn is the same life of tree number three. We have three trees, but we have only one life. When you stand in front of a mirror, you cannot see yourself. You can only see your body. So when you look at a tree, you cannot see the life. You can only see the body of the tree. The life is the invisible self, the invisible force or being. The tree is merely a form, just as what you see in the mirror is merely a form, a body. It isn't you. You are that which is described in the word I. I is not a body. I is me. I is that which constitutes me. I is really my life, the life of me. Therefore, as this body drops off, I do not drop off, for I am life. As a matter of fact, I am the life of this body. I am the life that gives this body its life, its direction. I am the life of this body, and as this body drops away, I, which is the life, immediately takes on a new body. I may look at it, it may be very strange to me at first, because I have witnessed that I can be male or I can be female. However, I am neither male nor female. I am incorporeal spiritual life. So as you step forth from this body, you may at first find yourself in a strange place, looking at a body that is a bit strange to you. However, you will soon recognize that I am I, that you are you, and you will get used to the fact that you have a different body to function in and through. This body that you will have will be suitable to the atmosphere in which you are functioning. If you function on Earth again, it will probably be a body similar to this one. Yes, I can say as a guy, coming back in the form of a woman, would be a bit strange. But stranger still would be if I was born on a planet in which there are no human beings. There are forms, but they're not human. On some planet in some far distant galaxy, I could be born into a form that's very strange. the more you realize that the life of a tree is immortal, that the life of the tree in your garden is the very life of the seed and the life of the next tree, the more you realize your immortality. What is important is that you will immediately recognize that the life of your child and the life of your grandchild is immortal. Even before your child is born, long before your grandchild is born, you will be carrying around in your consciousness the truth of the immortality and spiritual nature of life of this unborn child. And this child will be born into immortality. This he has received as revelation. This is not just guesswork. Do you not see that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free? But it is only as you know the truth about yourself. O man, know thyself, and you will know God. So says the Greek. Know thyself. Know thyself to be spirit, to be life, to be immortality. Then you will begin to understand the message that Christ Jesus gave to this world, which has never been accepted, never at any time. That message comes with the realization of this passage, which he also gave to the world. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Repeat it to yourself. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. I am come. Do you see? That I in the midst of you is the he that is come, so that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Therefore, when I say I, Joel, or you say I, Bill, just remember that I has come into the midst of you as you, so that you might have life, life more abundantly. In fact, life eternal. I am life eternal. I. Think now of the tree. The life of the tree is the life of the seed, which is the life of the next tree, which is the life of the next seed, which is the life of the next tree, and always it is that same life. So you see, I am life. I am not the body. I am life, and I am life eternal. Whether I am in the visible, or whether my time has come to pass into the invisible, is of no importance. I am life eternal. Now, if I am life eternal, if I am life immortal, if I am life spiritual, then that life of me is the life, is Christ's life, or the presence of Christ. In the moment that you acknowledge that Christ, the Son of God, in your life, you have loosed more of the Christ into human consciousness. Now, this morning there was a person in our group that said, I meditate, I read, I do all these things, I listen to talks, but something is missing. Yes, that something is the living Christ. That's what's missing, Christ. Yes, I can of mine own self do nothing, you're right. But there's a second half to that. Since I can of mine own self do nothing, then from now on I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. If I am life spiritual, then the life of me is the Christ life, or the presence of Christ. In the moment that you acknowledge the Christ, the Son of God, is your life, you have loosed more of the Christ into human consciousness. You have made sure that sin, disease, and death are thereby lessened, that the days of man's inhumanity to man are passing into the past, that the days of living by the sword, the taking up of weapons, are passing into the past. In the recognition of the Christ of your being, you now have Christ on earth instead of mortal man. Of course, it would be impossible for you to believe for a moment that Christ is your identity without the prior realization that since God is my Father and your Father, Christ is universal identity. If 10 righteous men, that is, spiritually enlightened men, can save a city, think what 400 can do going out into the world acknowledging, Christ liveth my life, and those who touch my life touch Christ. Their sins, their diseases, their lacks and limitations are dissolved, not by virtue of me, but by virtue of I and my Father being one. Now, Christ is, what, the presence of God, right? Within you. And so I and that presence are one. And that presence has come that I might have life, and that I might have life more abundantly. This invisible self is Christ here and now. And when I feel it, I am set free. I take a breath. Thank you, Father. Christ is upon me. And now I, the person, the body, no longer live my life, but this presence lives my life through the body. And it goes before me to prepare a place for me. And it goes before me to make the crooked places straight and smooth. So now I will rest. I will stand stock still. Christ liveth my life. Not for any purpose, not to direct it to dissolve this or dissolve that, not to direct it to bring me abundance or bring me health or bring me companionship. Just to be. Christ liveth my life. Just to be. And now I bear witness to that Christ. Anyone who touches my life, my consciousness, anyone who comes within my orbit is lifted up spiritually. Their sins, their diseases, their false appetites, their lacks are lessened and destroyed. Those who insist on clinging to the sword are going to be destroyed along with it. And I am sorry, but we can't have any regrets about it. This is why I know, since it was revealed within me, that we are witnessing the ushering in of the second coming of Christ. The coming of the Christ to human consciousness universally. Not merely to the saints and sages, not merely to the few who become practitioners and teachers. Christ is now coming to earth as the consciousness of all mankind. The second coming of Christ. If you have had the first coming of Christ, if you have felt it in your meditation, if you have felt it in your quiet moments, if you know when it is upon you, you have experienced the first coming of the Christ. But now, by recognizing Christ liveth my life, and bearing witness to it, we can behold the second coming of Christ. The Christ coming to all human consciousness. Now, it's only you and I that have a belief in time. And so, we believe that this will take time. But I can tell you that in that day, when the entire human race has been lifted into Christ consciousness, we will be standing there, and we won't be thinking this took a lot of years. No, we'll be thinking Christ is, and Christ has always been, and Christ will always be. You and I are ushering in that age in the recognition of the fact that I and the Father are one. That Christ is my individual consciousness and yours. And that everyone who touches me anywhere in this life's journey must automatically be lifted up. I have seen that work. I have seen people be lifted up. And it's strange because I don't have any control over that. Sometimes they're lifted up to try a new direction in life, a new profession, and they move in a new direction which sets them free. sometimes they're lifted up and you can see that they have an awareness they didn't have before. But how and in what direction they're lifted up, I have no way of knowing ahead of time. But that they are lifted up, if they're receptive, I have seen it so much that I can't deny it. As you begin to realize Christ, you must consciously realize Christ as the identity of every individual. And now you are establishing the reign of Christ on earth. You are part of that pioneer movement. And we've talked about that before. We are part of the movement which is going to lift all of humanity into Christ consciousness. Your relationship with God has to do with an activity of your own consciousness in which you realize that I and the Father are one. I am the temple of God. I am the heir of God. I am joint heir to all the heavenly riches, to the omniscience, the all wisdom of God, to the omnipresence of God, to the omnipotence of God. I and my Father are one. This is a universal truth. It means that you and this presence are one. You and this Christ are one. Christ liveth my life. Because I and Christ are one. We are all of the household of God. In acknowledging this for yourself, in bringing to yourself the harmonies that automatically follow the reign of Christ, do not forget that you are bringing them to this entire world. So, let's stop trying to reach mankind, and instead let each one of us determine to reach ourselves. Raise up Christ in ourselves. Realize the Christ in each other and thereby establish the reign of Christ on earth. Okay? Raise up Christ in ourselves. Then the billions of people will automatically discover that they are God-governed. When that day comes, if you witness it, you will probably be surprised that they are not grateful for it. They won't be grateful because they will not know out of what they were lifted. Now, if you're born into a consciousness that Christ liveth my life, you won't be grateful for that, because it's the normal, natural thing for you. You were born into it. It will seem that it's always been there. But for you and I that witness it, we will know better. He says we witness that in our work. It used to puzzle me many years ago in the healing of mental cases how all of a sudden we would witness a beautiful healing, and yet the shocking thing was they weren't grateful. They never said a word of thanks. it would puzzle you to think of this wonderful demonstration and no thanks at all. Then all of a sudden you would realize, of course, they never knew they were mentally disturbed at all. They know themselves only as they are now. So it may be with us in that day, when we truly recognize our Christhood, I am afraid we are going to forget to be grateful. Certainly the new generation that is born into Christhood will never be grateful, for they will never know what they were saved from. He says, in earlier discussing the nature of the experience that happens to Christian Science students, Unity students, New Thought students, and Infinite Way students when they hit a certain moment in their life and pass from being just a human being to an awareness of the spiritual identity, my purpose was that you should know that in the moment when this experience happens to them, they become a spiritual influence onto hundreds and hundreds, and then onto thousands. Remember that in any degree whatsoever that you have experience of spiritual uplift, from that moment on you have become a spiritual influence onto hundreds and onto thousands, and you are ensuring the coming of the day of Christ as the consciousness of mankind. What separates the life of an individual living the human experience of both good and evil, sickness and health, abundance and lack, sin and purity, happiness and unhappiness, from the individual's spiritual attainment, whose life is on the whole a continuity of harmony, is a matter of identification. Who are you? Are you Pete? Are you Peter? Are you Joseph? Are you Marge? Are you Susan? Are you Larry? Are you Mary? Or are you Gary? That will, identification with that will give you this human life of good and evil. Sometimes harmony, sometimes inharmony. But if we, in our meditation, experience this presence upon us, or if while we're reading we're lifted up because of Joel's consciousness, then we can sit with the principle, Christ liveth my life. And I know how it works. We sit in our meditation. We have a wonderful meditation. First thing in the morning, we feel so attuned. Yes, Christ liveth my life. Then we go out the front door. We head to work. Within an hour, we've forgotten all about Christ. There's a crisis that has come up, and we have to solve it. Maybe it's our business, and we have to solve it because it's our business, and we need to make it harmonious. Or maybe we have a boss that is standing over us saying, you better solve this. In one way or another, our attention is focused on this latest problem. And we forget all about the Christ. We forget all about our meditation. And maybe it's after work now. The crisis has been solved. We're coming home from work. We sit down to dinner. And then we remember, oh my God, I was supposed to practice that Christ liveth my life, and I've been a human being all day. Well, at that point, maybe we'll remember that Joel said we're to have 30 1 to 2 minute meditations during each day. Now, we decide we're going to practice that. And the next day it's 10 o'clock before we remember. 10 o'clock in the morning. And the next time we remember, it's the break in the afternoon at 2. And the next time we remember, it's at dinner. Well, at least we remembered 4 or 5 times that day. Granted, it's not 30. So we determined to do better. Maybe we'll leave ourselves a note in the car. Or, I have been known to draw a little I, the letter I, on my thumb. So small it looks like an accident. Like I accidentally brushed a pen up on my thumb. But no, it's a reminder. I and the Father are one. Christ liveth my life. Now, we go on like this, and one morning we're in a hurry to get to work, and we run down the stairs and trip and fall on our arm and break it. We have a broken arm. We have to go to the hospital. It hurts like heck. How could this happen? I've been trying to practice Christ liveth my life. I don't get it. Now I've got a broken arm. How could this happen? Well, Joel puts it this way. Regardless of how high you attain on the spiritual path, it does not mean that you will be forever without some problem or another. Yet it is safe to say that from what we have seen, most of your problems will be minor ones and really readily resolved, or easily resolved. However, occasionally there can be some very serious problems that come along even to the spiritual student, and that is because of universal world hypnotism. The mere fact that we are living in a world of other people means we cannot close our eyes to the troubles and problems of our friends and families. And sometimes we cannot close our eyes to the troubles and problems of the world, so that we come under the hypnotism of world belief, and at any stage of our spiritual experience may encounter a serious problem. Now I see that with people that watch the news, and I watch the news, and they may feel that they are practicing spiritual principles quite well. And yet you may hear them say, oh, that's horrible. How could that guy drive his truck into a crowd of people? You see? That doesn't mean that you won't see that on the news, but I have found myself at times praying, realizing I in the midst of me, am I in the midst of the so-called terrorist? You think because they're practicing ideological beliefs that I is not in them? No, I in the midst of them. Either I is in the midst of everyone, or Christ is a liar. But it won't do any good unless one with God, one person, realizes that Christ is in the midst of them. We have, however, one great benefit over the rest of the world. No matter how great the problem is, even if we face death, it is not too much for us, because we have come to the realization that life here and life there is still life. So it is just going to be a matter of making the adjustment to life on one plane or to life on another plane. We have something to work towards, because we know if we were facing the last hour of our life on earth, this verdict could be completely reversed within that hour just by correct realization or identification. We are probably free of 80% of all the world's problems on this path. Most of the 20% that might touch us, we meet quickly, and the little that we do not, we will meet eventually. All of it we will meet eventually, on this plane or on the next plane. So, the attaining of the spiritual awareness hinges on right identification, on whether or not you have perceived that I is God. We do know that in the experience of Moses, we have the full and complete revelation. This we know. Moses revealed it forever to the world. I am that I am. And I remember when I had that realization, it was somewhat shocking. Here I thought I was a human being, and I thought I was, whatever I was, 27, 28. I thought I was married. That I lived in a house with my wife and our child. And I worked in a factory. And I had just gotten a raise. But suddenly I'm sitting there, eyes closed. I am that I am. And I'm contemplating that. I am that I am. Oh my God, I am that I am. That I am is what I am. And I sprang up out of my seat and I called Herb Fitch. Herb, I am that I am. Fortunately, he didn't trample on my pearl. He handled it, looked at it, agreed with it, and handed it back gently. I am that I am. When this man who is a shepherd realizes, oh, I am that, all of a sudden that shepherd becomes the leader and liberator of the whole human nation, Hebrew nation, and is endowed with sufficient spiritual power to take them right out from under the nose of Pharaoh and lead them to the promised land. It is said that Moses could not take the Hebrews into the promised land because of some fault of his own. But I can tell you, that is in error. This I can say through revelation. It was not any fault or mistake of Moses. The reason he could not take the Hebrews into the promised land is that nobody can take you into the promised land. They can only lead you up to the promised land and reveal this truth to you. And if you do not accept it, you cannot walk into the promised land. What is the promised land? It's the conscious awareness that Christ liveth my life, and then the becoming still and bearing witness as it does in fact really live my life. So I can lead you up to this truth, I am that I am, but I can't lead you into the conscious awareness of that truth. This you have to do yourself. You have to come into the awareness. Nobody is ever going to take you into the promised land as long as you think there is man and God. Nobody. They can lead you to the promised land by telling you and writing books for you, but it is you who must attain the realization, oh, I am. Then you will walk right into the promised land and you will be right smack in the middle of it. Oh, I am. Now you see, there is no more separation between you and God. I and the Father. Now you have become one in realization. I and the Father are one. Is the relationship between God and man. Oneness. The life of God is the life of man. There are not two. There is just one. Just one. I and that presence are one. God breathed his life into man. Not man's life. God breathed God's life into man. Therefore, the life of man is God. God did not give man's mind. God did not give man a mind. The mind of God becomes the mind of man. And it is for this reason that you can reach back within yourself and receive impartations from within. The artist, the composer, the writer goes within his consciousness and brings forth his art, his music, his literature. Why? Because his consciousness is infinite. Because God constitutes his consciousness. Therefore, by closing his eyes and going within, he is going to God. The kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there. The kingdom of God is within you. But what does the world do? It continues to look for holy mountains and holy temples and holy teachers instead of accepting what Moses revealed, Elijah, Isaiah revealed, Jesus and Paul revealed, John revealed, Buddha revealed, and how many others I cannot even tell you. It has been known to so many. However, it has been lost always. You could say it was lost because it was organized. The moment it was organized, well, then we set up the Buddha, Moses, we set up Jesus. Always we set up someone, and they became the Holy One, and we became the ones who sat at their feet and worshipped. They never taught this, they never encouraged it, never. The secret is, what I am, thou art. All that I am, thou art. All that I have is thine. Even God reveals that, so that you do not make the mistake of pleading with God for something. He even says, all that I have is thine. How then, after that, can you pray for anything? All that I am, thou art. How can you look to God for anything? The secret becomes knowing this truth, living in this truth, abiding in this word, I am. All that God is, I am. All that the Father hath is mine. And so abide in this truth, I am. Then you will understand all of the Infinite Way writings, because they repeat over and over the Master's words, I have meat the world knows not of. I have hidden manna. I will never leave me nor forsake me. I was with me before the world was. I will be with me unto the end of the world. Be not afraid. It is I. So, it's true of me just as it's true of you. When I have a problem that won't budge, even with prayer, even with meditation, even with talks and reading books, I recognize there's only one thing missing. Christ. Now let me get out of the way and let Christ live itself. And I come within here and I lean back in this chair into this presence. Christ liveth. And I take a breath and I let it out. Christ liveth. And the mind starts to want to add something to that. No, no. Christ liveth. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth me. I, Christ, in the midst of all living being. I, Christ, in the midst of me, am that same being. I, Christ, liveth. Behold, I come quickly. in a moment ye think not. In a moment of stillness, in a moment of silence, I, Christ, liveth. Right here, right now, I, Christ, liveth. When you feel that inner movement, let go of everything. I mean completely let go. It's not your thinking. It's your nothingness. Completely and totally let go. Be nothing. And behold, I, Christ, liveth you. Here I am. Now I am. Here, now, I am Christ. I and Christ are one. Christ liveth this life. And be still and rest in that inner knowing of the truth. Now, repeating these words and thinking these words, that's not knowing the truth. In a complete and total letting go, experience the movement of Christ in your soul. That is knowing the truth. I am the truth. When you know I, you know the truth. And when you know the truth, you know I. I am the truth. Then let know and let. I, in the midst of you, am Christ. The presence of God. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Now move into that consciously, consciously aware of I, Christ. I, Christ, liveth the life, your life, my life. Behold, what manner of love the Father has, that you should be called the Christ of God.